This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we're following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to American Muslim Project. My name is Asad Butt. Today, we have Rami Abushab. Rami is an Arab-American actor and comedian based in Chicago, Illinois. He has been featured in national commercials for companies such as Lids and RCN Cable, as well as starring in a bunch of independent movies. In 2019, Rami formed a stand-up comedy group called Terminal 5 with the goal of uniting minorities through the power of comedy. Terminal 5 has gone on to produce a bunch of shows and is looking to expand out of state. I met Rami a couple months ago when he applied to Rufilion's most recent script competition up at the Mosker's Film Festival in Edmonton, and he actually won with his script called Shawarma Inn. It was definitely a crowd pleaser, and the judges loved it as well. We're going to talk about that script and what it's like for him to be a Palestinian Muslim in entertainment up after the break. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Rami, welcome to American Muslim Project. So excited to have you as our guest. I want to start with sharing with the audience that we met just recently. You applied to our pitch competition that we had up at the Mosker's Film Festival, and you actually won. Yeah. You won for your script, Shawarma Inn. I wonder, maybe you could just talk about that script and where that idea came from.
Yeah, well, first, thank you for having me. I appreciate you so much. You've been giving me good energy since I met you, and it means the world. So I have to say,
no, that's so nice. Same, likewise, you know,
definitely. Thank you. Yeah, I have to say that off the bat. So Shawarma Inn, the idea came, funny or not, I was eating at a shawarma restaurant, and there was a situation where the server was a lot of men from the belet, they were from back home, and he was serving and there was a white family that was eating, and there's a little white girl that was talking to the server, and she said the Red Sox scored, the Boston Red Sox. She was watching a baseball game. She's like, the Red Sox scored, and she kept saying it to him. Then he's like, you want the fork? And then he pulls out a fork and And after that, I don't know why that, when I saw that, I was dying, dude. I was like, what the hell? Then that's when the idea kind of sparked. I was like, I need to make something about a shawarma restaurant. And then it's too full. I feel like the things that can happen there would be really funny. So that's what sparked the idea. But originally it was going to be more the office style type thing with the interviews and stuff. And then when your competition came, I was like, oh, this is where I should apply this. But I wanted to do, I mean, there was like a limit, obviously, on pages and stuff. So I was like, the office thing would be too long. So I was like, let me worry about someone who loses their halal license, which is actually a real, I've seen restaurants here in Chicago that have lost it.
That's wild. Yeah. So yeah, the story for those. Rami pitched this idea of a restaurant that, you know, a family restaurant that loses their license and then they, you know, spend the day trying to get that license back. And very funny script. And, you know, it was 10 pages or so and maybe a little bit longer. And, you know, just won over the audience, you know, that he was pitching in front of. I think part of it also has to do with Rami's presence, you know, on the stage. You also had an experience of you. Remind me, you actually did a halal certification video, right? Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes. Yeah, so in the script, I should have described it better, but in the, basically, like Asad said, this shawarma restaurant loses their halal license. They got to get it back. That's like the essence of this movie. And then there's some lessons there about tradition. During one of the ways that they have to get it back is they have to do halal training videos. And again, I know about these training videos because I was an actor in these halal training videos.
That's amazing.
About a year or so ago. It's not even that long ago. I came up, man. I'm on the come up right now, man. Yeah, these I did this halal training video, multiple halal, where any company that's trying to get certified by this, like the halal board, they're called Ifanka. They have to watch these videos, and then it's me being like, what is halal? Halal means, you know, permissible.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's
right.
So, yeah, it's a real thing.
That's amazing. Now, you got your start. You actually started in the acting route and then moved to stand-up. I feel like it's usually the other way around, where stand-up comedians start in comedy and then go into acting.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me about how you got the stand-up bug?
The stand-up bug? Dude, I wish there was a cool story with stand-up, man. I really wish. I'm a theater kid. I started theater in high school. That was like the origin of my, I played basketball first. I was a varsity basketball player.
Oh, wow.
No flex. I'm just
varsity.
Oh yeah. I'm just saying I was all conference in high school. I was out here.
Oh, look at this. Amazing.
I played point guard, okay. And senior year was the first year my school did the play, my high school. And I saw they did theater and I saw an audition for it. And I was like, I was drawn to it for whatever reason. And then, I wanted to audition, and then like it was like, have you seen High School Musical?
I've never seen it, but I know obviously about it. Is that Zach?
Yeah,
whatever.
Zac Efron. Yeah, he hooped, but he wanted to do the musical, but then he was getting roasted.
Oh,
I'm not saying I'm Zac, but I'm saying like we're neck and neck.
Are you the Arab Zac Efron? Is that what you're saying?
We're neck and neck. He has a better hairline at the moment, but after I go to Turkey, I'm gonna come back Arab Zac. I'm telling you, that's kind of what started it. And then I auditioned for the play. I got the lead. I fell in love with theater.
Oh, wow.
And then I went to college, and then I majored in not theater. I did economics and political science. I double majored. And then I started theater school a week after I graduated, like full-time theater school a week after I graduated. About 4 years into acting, I woke up one morning and I was like, I want to do stand-up. And I just started doing it.
Hmm. Wow.
It's so weird, yeah.
You know, so I saw Rami perform in Toronto for the first time. I had never seen any videos or anything like that. Obviously, we had been in touch because he had pitched in the startup competition, but I was immediately blown away by, I mean, not only your comedy, but your control of the room, right? Like, I feel like that is such a unique skill set to have, is like when you got to the part of you kind of do throughout your set, but the part of your set where you're kind of asking questions of the crowd and then riffing off of their responses. I mean, that, I think for a lot of people, that would scare the shit out of them, you know, like trying to be funny on the spot based on what people are saying. Like, how did you learn that skill set? And have you always had that? Or, you know, is it, did you learn it from your family? Like, talk to me about that.
I appreciate that. Chicago Public Schools. That's the...
Oh, really?
That's the answer.
Tell me more.
We would, in high school... Even since I was a little kid, we would just roast each other. Like, there would be like roast sessions. Like in high school, it'd be like, all right, at 2 o'clock, Rami and Lorenzo, you're going, and we would just do it. And I remember in high school specifically, we all wore a uniform, but we'd still like roast each other. But it's like, look at your shoes, but we're wearing the same shoes, you know? So we We have to be creative, like, with it. So you have to, you couldn't just say, look,
that's fascinating.
So that's kind of what started it. And I would just roast all these people and like roast back. And then, because initially I wasn't the roast guy. I was the guy in on the side who would laugh. But then when I'd laugh, they'd be like, what are you laughing at, boy? And then just come at me. And then I'm just like, no. Like, that's who I was.
You were the guy in the audience, you know? Right? Yeah.
But then I started having to roast people. And then that's kind of truly where it started. And then I just carried it onto stage. And that's just what happened.
I'm getting flashes of 8 Mile with Eminem, of the kind of like, you know, obviously that's a rap battle, but this is the more comedy battle. That's really interesting. I feel like we should make a movie on this.
We should.
Rami, let's do it.
I'm with that.
Let's do it. That's amazing. So what is it about stand-up that you like so much? I mean, obviously I know you're acting as well, but what is it specifically about the stand-up that you like so much?
Storytelling. I love being able to tell stories. Like, I love creating an environment when I perform where it's like, we're like in a living room and I just have the floor. Like, and that's what I want it to feel like when I'm performing. Like, we're all just hanging out. Oh, Rami's just going at it again, telling stories and messing around. I love creating that environment. And when I do stand up, I'm a big storyteller. That's the majority of my material comes from that. And I kind of get to share a perspective that maybe people don't see often. And I think that I carry that badge with me very proudly. And it's something that I think if we can all resonate on, like with laughter and with storytelling, I think that's like the most beautiful thing. So,
yeah, that's amazing. And talk to me about your acting career. What kind of stuff have you been in, and what are you hoping to do?
Yeah, so acting career, I've been in a bunch of independent films, short, feature, commercial work. Indie films have been my bread and butter thus far. Film festivals, stuff like that. I mean, I had a movie that went to Sundance, Alhamdulillah, which is
amazing,
in 2021, which is, I thought I was going to pop off after that. I'll tell you. I showed all my friends. I was like, you guys don't even know. I got the song. And then it was Vertigo.
It still could happen.
I believe it. Yeah, but it was so, I was like, hey, I was like, Baba, don't worry. I was like, hey, I got this. And then it was virtual. So literally I had like a little avatar in the virtual Sundance.
Interesting.
So it wasn't like the full experience, but it was still like such a massive thing. It was cool. Like Forbes.
That's awesome.
I was in like a Forbes article and I showed it to my dad. And I was like,
no way.
I was like, Bob, we made the news. I was like, without being terrorists. Like, I feel like we're changing the game.
The narrative. Yeah, totally. I want to take a quick break, Rami, and I want to come back and hear more about your dad and your relationship with your dad. And then also more about your Palestinian background. Let's take a break and we'll be right back with Rami.
Cool.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to American Muslim Project. My guest today is Rami Abushab. Am I pronouncing that right?
Abushab, yeah.
Abushab. Okay, I'll get that right. I'm very bad with pronunciation across the board. You know, Rami, you are a proudly Palestinian American Muslim.
Yeah.
I wonder how that has affected you as you try to make your career in entertainment.
This is a good question. let's see. I'm gonna try to think of the positives instead of the setbacks, because there are setbacks for sure. I'll mention one. I guess when I first started acting, which is like 10 years ago now, I met a director on the set of a film who asked me where I was from. I told him I was Palestinian, and no joke, he pulled me to the side. He said, "Don't say that." He's like, "Don't tell anyone you're Palestinian."
He was a white guy?
Yeah. He said, don't tell anyone you're Palestinian. I think he was looking after me, though. I don't think he was even trying to. He was saying, don't say you're Palestinian until like you're solidified, and then you could say that. And this is when I didn't understand what it was. So that was something that I never listened. Obviously, I can never turn my back on my people. Like, I think the reason that I have a career right now, like in general, is because these are the people who've been supporting me. So how do I look like turning my back on them for what? I can't do that. But the positives, I think it's given me such a good perspective. Being Palestinian American has given me the most like crazy, like different perspective on life. And so I'm able to kind of tell these stories. And I have this family who's, you know, the cast of themselves, really. And so that's like the positive. I try to look at it that way. I truly believe it is an honor to be Palestinian. It's not I don't want to call it a curse. I don't want to call it a burden. This is something that I really.
No, it shouldn't be. Yeah, for sure.
Proud of.
Yeah, no doubt. I remember when you won the award for best pitch, best screenplay. One of the first things you said to me, we got him a big check that said, you know, winner, $1,000. But one of the first things you said to me was like, I can't wait to show my dad this.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other stuff that I've read about you online, it's like you have this really amazing relationship with your dad. You really look just like, it seems like he's your hero, you know, some ways, shape, you know, like. So talk to me about your dad and his relationship both with, you know, Palestine, but then also like, you know, what he means to you.
Yeah. My dad is he is the most important person in my life. Everything I do goes through him. Like, I need him to know that he didn't come here for no reason. I need him to know that his son is working hard to change the narrative of our people and the perspective of our people. And then give him and the rest of my family like a good life while I'm doing this. He is Palestinian, born and raised in Akraba, which is a small village by Nablus. For those, Nablus is the where Knafo originated, so that's how why people know Nablus.
No.
And
in the West Bank.
Yeah, he's in the West Bank, and my entire family is still there in the West Bank, and so he was directly affected by the 1967 war. Directly where when this happened, he had to forcibly leave his home with tanks surrounding him and just,
oh my goodness,
you know, things blowing up around him. And he described very vividly to me what he saw. And I don't want to repeat everything, but, you know, he's been through it. And, he lived in Jordan for a year and literally in that, he said, this is where brown parents talk about where you start questioning. Cause he's like, we lived in a house made of mud, and then it rained, and we had to rebuild the house. And I'm like, I mean, look, I believe they always, it's that, and their walks to school are always like trash.
Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what,
yeah.
Totally. That's what he said, you know? So, and then
he
said a year later, they were listening to the radio, and there was like a lottery of people allowed to go back to their homes. And then my family was luckily one of the families that could go back to, and they've been there ever since. And,
oh, wow. Amazing.
Yeah. So,
how are you feeling about what's going on in the world today? I mean, obviously that's a big question.
Yeah.
And I can, and we talked about it a little bit a couple of weeks ago, but how do you try to be funny in these times?
I'm still trying to figure that out. Honestly, that's a good question. It's heartbreaking, I think, is the only word that I can use to describe it. I think, Arabs and brown people in general, whether Desi, whether Arab, even Latinos, Filipinos, Black people, all of us have been dehumanized in the media for a very long time. And I think this plays a big factor in why the world is so okay with what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in Congo, what's happening in Sudan, what's happening in Somalia. They're all so okay with it because they don't look at us as human, as equal, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this is probably the most heartbreaking thing to me. It's absolutely just insane how we can just look at these people as numbers or as statistics, because it's just, they're brown, you know, they're Muslim, they're terrorists, they're whatever. And they keep feeding this propaganda to the world of we're just these non-human savages, animals, children of the dark, as Netanyahu literally said. And it's just, it's heartbreaking for me. And I think that is where I do have to kind of come in with my art, right? And where I do need to find some way to make this comedic, where I could tell my story and then tell the facts, but make it funny. Nothing I was going to get this work. I promise you. I'm roasting this man the next time I touch him.
Oh, really?
I promise you that. And he needs to understand that he's from Philly. He's not even a real, like, he needs to understand, like, he's next on that list, man.
On the list. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Tell me about how your community has been handling it in Chicago. And, you know, what is it? What is the last 5-6 weeks? Yeah. I would love to know an audience directly from, you know, someone whose family is affected by what's going on. I mean, obviously they're in the West Bank, but, you know.
Yeah. So even
Palestinians,
they're in the West Bank. They're locked in their village right now. They're not allowed to leave. They're not, no one's allowed to come.
That's wild.
They're stuck in their village. And, you know, settlers are everywhere in the West Bank, and they're literally being handed guns by their government, and they're just harassing civilians. It's you know, my family's definitely feeling it too. And it's tough, but they're Arab, man. They're not telling me what's wrong. I'll call them. I actually got sent a video of like a big, like a fight that happened in my village. I wasn't even sure. There was no context. It was just sent to me of, there were like people throwing stones at cars and like breaking windows and destroying things. And I was like, what's happening? So I called my uncle. I'm like, yo, what's going on? He's like, nothing's going on. And I was like, I literally have a video. Of like, and he's like, oh, there was a small fight. It was nothing. Yeah. And I was like, are they, and he's just not telling me anything. And it's so crazy, but that's just how they are. They're just like, he said, Rami, I'm used to this. He said, there's nothing else for me. This is all he knows.
That's wild.
And that's even more heartbreaking that's how desensitized.
For sure.
To everything.
And for the kids next, you know, the kids that grew up with that and also be desensitized to it as they grow up is also, you know, or just horrible. I want to just point out that you posted this long thing on Instagram today, kind of, you shared some thoughts and, you know, as you know, I'm a new father. And so you wrote a letter to your future children, just kind of like sharing your thoughts. I was hoping that you could read that to our audience, if you'd be comfortable sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to say, give context on that. I wrote that maybe like days ago. It wasn't, I mean, it's still recent, but it's like maybe like 5 days ago, a week ago. And I kind of sat on it. I debated whether I should share this or not.
Why did you debate?
It's just being vulnerable to this extent without masking it with a joke is like utterly terrifying. And and so that's something that I debated. And, you know, also, I don't know, I guess I'm very careful about what I share, because if it's not contributing, I almost don't want to, like, I'm sitting on how many stand-up clips right now that are not about this, and I'm just kind of sitting on them.
Sure.
Because I really want to be productive with whatever I do. And I spoke about this to my best friend. His name is Brito. And he said that this offers like a creative perspective on things, and he said you should probably share this. And he's the reason that he gave me the courage to do this. So shout out to him. But I can read this. To my future children, I'm sorry. I'm sorry being human isn't enough. I'm sorry I'm bringing you all into a world that doesn't love you, a world that doesn't look at you as equals. I'm sorry that money and power have trumped the value of human life. I'm sorry that during a job interview one day, you're going to be asked, do you condemn Hamas? I'm sure Piers Morgan will still be asking by then. I'm sorry that your entire life, you'll be told, don't talk about where you're from, it's complicated, or just say you're Arab instead of Palestinian. I'm sorry that by the time you're here, the world will have made many different flavors of chocolate hummus. I'm sorry they pronounce it hummus. I'm sorry you're going to be dragged into all of this. I want you to know, however, that no matter what the world thinks of you, Baba will love you very much. Baba will do everything in his power to make sure that by the time you grow up, the entire world will look at you as equals. The entire world will look at you for who you are, not just by the color of your skin or the languages you speak. You see, Baba's working very hard to make sure that by the time you get here, the world will have a different perspective. A perspective that leads to a smile, not fear. A perspective that leads to laughter, not ignorance. A perspective that leads to light, not darkness. I know things are going to be hard for you, but I will be here to guide you every step of the way. From your first steps to your first terrorist accusation, I'll be here for it all. Being born Palestinian is not easy. You will learn this very early on in life. But but please do not look at this as a burden or a curse, for it isn't either of those things. Being Palestinian is not a burden we carry. It's an honor. It's a badge we wear proudly. Being Palestinian is a gift that comes with resilience, a gift that comes with relentlessness, and one that comes with humanity, a level of humanity that we pray the rest of the world needs to know and understand. I ask that you don't give up, even when it gets difficult. Please don't get down. Please continue to represent our people in the best way possible, the most humanly way possible. Please continue to make others laugh and think. I know you're all going to be funny, inshallah. Please keep fighting to show the world what I already know, that you are going to be the best of us, the best of humanity. I pray you find laughter and happiness in each day you live. I pray you get to see your homeland and meet your wonderful family members the same way your father did. I pray you get to meet your grandpa, my Baba, and hear all his stories about what it's like growing up in the lovely country of Palestine. I pray about what it's like to overcome the toughest adversity and not only survive, but thrive. I pray you get equal opportunity to chase your dreams and turn your beautiful thoughts into reality. You can do anything. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. With the light of the world feeling dim at this moment, you are the hope. You will shine brighter than the stars that hover over our sky. You will create waves bigger than any of the headlines your Baba will ever make. You will bring the world the Noor that it so desperately needs. But there's one thing I know you'll bring the most. Humanity. I know you will bring the world's most purest form of humanity. I'm aware this is a big task, but I have no doubt that you'll be able to do it. Your Baba has always said to dream on. You're going to change the world, inshallah. I love you forever and always, future Palestinian father.
Man, thank you for sharing.
Thanks for listening.
No, I mean, I think, you know, like I said, as a father, as a human, you know, like, you can't ask for, I mean, just, it was beautiful.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you so much.
And representing your people in the best way that you can. Robbie, where can people find you?
Instagram, TikTok at Ramia Bushhab is like, Instagram is my primary thing, and then YouTube as well at Ramia Bushhab, RamiAbushhab.
Amazing. And you all can know for sure that Rafaelion, our production company, me, my company, and Rami will be doing a lot of stuff in the future. I believe in this guy, and I think he's going to be changing the world. So can't wait to be a small part of that journey with you, my friend.
Thank you, man. Hey, you're going to make me stop this, man. What are you doing? What is going on, man? What's going on? This is okay.
Cool, man. But thanks for joining American Muslim Project. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Muslim Project. Now is the time for our sound check with producer Ari. Ari, what do you think of Rami?
Rami, very funny, very authentic.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, he's I think that's a great way to put it, really down to earth. And I've gotten to know him over the last 2 months or so, and I've just continually just impressed with him and his approach to not only his comedy and his art, but just also just like, he's a good person, you know, and I think that means a lot in this industry, right?
Yes.
As well, yeah,
it does.
Totally, right? He's someone that you want to work with, right? And yeah. I wish you could have seen the way that he controlled the room. I was like, it was just so impressive. And so, yeah, totally. What did you think about his letter to his future children?
I mean, heartbreaking in a lot of ways, but also so incredibly beautiful. I think in a lot of ways, the sentiment of the letter and also just what he was talking about, it kind of reminded me of, and obviously this is very different, shortly after I came out, someone who I love told me, you know, I hope that my daughter isn't queer when she grows up because the world is hard.
Yeah.
And that would be really hard for her. And I was just, you know, left with this, you know, kind of a burning anger, honestly.
Yeah.
Of like, no, no, you don't, you can't want this, like, this beautiful part of identity, this beautiful part of someone, you know, themselves and their community to not, you, to that not to be a truth.
Yeah.
It's, you change the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I think that's exactly right.
Yeah. And like, obviously those facets of identity are different within how we move within the world. But like what he's talking about, like, I'm there with you. And also I want to change the world for you.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at too. Like, I'm gonna, we spend our lives trying to make the world the place that we need. And also the world that, you know, our future generations need.
Yeah, you know, as you're speaking, it seems like there could be a lot of parallels between that letter and a letter that you could write to your future children, right? Like, I feel like there's, you know, it's, you know, not equating 100% the cause of the Palestinians and the cause of queer folk, but like, yeah, the society is against you right now, in a lot of ways, shape and form. So yeah, thank you for drawing that parallel. And yeah. Whew. I think, all right, we're going to have to go get some coffee after this and just have a little therapy session, I think. But
coffee is good, yeah.
Yeah. Any other takeaways that you want to share?
I loved hearing that he was a theater kid. I also was a theater kid. I don't know if
I don't think I knew that. Yeah, but that makes sense for sure.
But I wasn't a jock though. I was okay. I was straight up basketball? The theater nerd.
Okay.
No, not with these knees. Yeah. But I don't know if it will be funny or make sense to you that for my senior project in high school theater, instead of actually acting, I was the director.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that. Look at this. Learning yeah. every day. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I guess my pivot into behind the scenes work.
Yeah, right, for sure. Totally. We'll have to track down a video of that. I'd love to see it someday. But that's it for our show. I want to thank Rami. I want to thank producer Ari. And I want to thank you. We'll be back next week with another episode of American Muslim Project. Until then, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. See you soon.